Welcome to 2018, Church of the King. Glad y'all are here. Come on, give yourselves a hand for making it. At the crack of 11:15. Thank you all for being here. If you're a guest, I just want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. Man, my heart as a pastor is to connect you with first God and then godly people. I'd love for you guys to fill out, if you are a guest, a connection card. It's in the seat back in front of you that gives just us an opportunity to be able to provide anything you may need. We'll also send you something really delicious in the mail. You don't want to miss that. And 2018 is going to be awesome, isn't it? Y'all excited? Man, I am. I know a lot of people come to church after, you know, the end of a long year and just ready for something new. It reminds me of old Boudreaux. Man, it was 2018, and like Boudreaux, he's like, cool, man. He's partied hard at 2017. This is now we're talking like the brand new year. And, you know, as a pastor, the new years can be exciting because, man, you just know that God has great things in store for you and for a lot of other people as well. And so, you know, the priest at the church down in Grand Chenier, he was really excited about the new year. And he's you know, I mean, it's a brand new year, and he's sitting in his confessional. He's just waiting. And old Boudreaux, man, he's been living up 2017, but he knows he's got to go to church, and so he ends up and he's going to church, and boy, the priest's so excited. He's so excited, and he's looking and he's waiting for people to come, and all of a sudden, you know, he sees somebody opening up, and boy, he knows it's Boudreaux. And old Boudreaux sits down, and the priest can be like, he can smell like the alcohol. Come on, y'all know that smell, don't you? Some of you probably recently. I hope not. And old Boudreaux just sits down. Oh, he starts just, oh, ugh. And the priest is like just waiting, you know, and Boudreaux's in there, and then the priest just like, he's like, well, I guess I'll knock, you know. Boudreaux? Boudreaux, and the priest is thinking, man, this must be some really bad sin. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. Boudreaux! And finally, Boudreaux from his stupor says, oh, no, there's no paper in this one neither. May that not be your experience at church this morning. I'm excited for 2018 because it's great. You know, 2017 was really just fantastic. I had a great time. Anybody else enjoy 2017? Come on. It was good. 2018 is going to be better, but 2017 was great. You know, we had just statistically the number of people that came to our church was really amazing. We grew by 25% in 1 year. I mean, just crunching the numbers, dead on 25%. It's pretty awesome. We saw 87 people baptized and a lot more people than that give their heart to the Lord, and then lots of people rededicate their life. Really awesome, really exciting. You know, we did a tremendous amount of outreach this past year, which, love it. I mean, 254 kids had Christmas gifts given to them by their parents because of the generosity of you guys and a willingness not just to give, but to be a part of that. Thanksgiving, like 120 Thanksgiving meals, something ridiculous. And then all throughout the year from food pantry, even this past week with our homeless outreach, and we housed people here in the freezing cold, and you can actually we're going to continue to do that, and you can be a part of all that. And then the big thing, which was just such a God deal, was disaster relief with Harvey that affected both Southwest Louisiana and especially Southeast Texas. And the statistics on that, just looking at those again, are just insane. Like, we gave out, like we received and delivered, this is the conservative number, $5.5 million worth of goods, thousands of pallets, just so much stuff, just unbelievable. And it continues today, which many of you may not even realize, that we are still partnering with Cajun Navy. In fact, that our warehouse is used every day of the week except Sundays, as we're partnering with Cajun Navy and the VOAD, which is the Volunteer Organization Assisting in Disaster. It's a local chapter of the VOAD, and we're a primary player in helping to rebuild 66 homes right there in the terrace, literally just a few blocks away. Still doing that today. Isn't that cool? Can somebody give a shout out for that or a hand clap? But here's the thing. We don't simply exist to rebuild homes. We exist to rebuild lives. That's why we're here. And here's what I want to share with you. If what you did yesterday still looks big to you, you haven't done much today. Man, 2017's great, But let me tell you, God's called us to focus on the right now so that the rest of 2018 can be bigger. Today is Vision Sunday, and my heart for you is that you get a picture of what God has for you. Proverbs 29:18, if you've been around church, you probably know the King James Version, without vision, the people perish. How many of y'all have heard that before? Without vision, the people perish. But look what it says right here. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Y'all ever done that before? If you can't see what God's doing, this is the Message Version, that they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And let me just tell you, I'm a blessed man, but the blessings come not because I'm a good guy, but because God lights the path that we are to walk. And my heart for you is that when you can't see what God's doing, you recognize that it's you that's causing the stumbling, not God. And man, the vision that he has for us is to transform the world around us. As a church, 2018 is going to be great. I really just firmly believe that. And the next big things, I just want to share with you what God's put on my heart as a pastor and a leader here for the next 6 months. I actually have the whole year mapped out. I'm just going to share just a few big highlights of what we're going to be doing, because God's called us as a church to reach people and build lives. That's what he's called us to do, to reach people and build lives. Everybody say, reach people, build lives. Man, I want us all to be on the same page that this church exists, and if this is your family, that you are a part of it, that we exist to reach people with the love of God and build lives on Jesus as the hope of the world. Man, that's why we're here. And so the next big three pushes for the next 6 months, it's all about reaching people and then seeing their life built on God's word. And here it is. Number one, here's the first one. It's born for this. This is much more than just a sermon series. It starts actually next week that we're going to be starting a sermon series on purpose, on what it means to walk out the purpose and plan of God for your life. That you are born for a purpose, but it's God who knows you. And it's his purpose that brings fulfillment. It's his purpose that brings satisfaction and joy. Born for this. Everybody say, born for this. So here's what I'm going to challenge everybody here, and I'll challenge it next week as well, that you show up for every week of the 6 weeks in Born for This. You show up. Here's the second thing, is that you either host, and I'm going to encourage everybody, host a group. At least get in a group. Why? Because we've seen tremendous growth in the church in the last year, 25% growth, and right around 1,000 people on the weekends. And let me just say, as the church gets bigger, we've got to make sure that we stay healthy. And a big church can be healthy, but it has to get smaller at the same time that it's getting bigger. And life doesn't happen in rows like this. Life happens in circles, in a group. Who are your people? If you know, I don't know my people here. Well, find some people and get in a group. Or let me tell you the better option, host it and invite them to come to Born for This. Here's the cool thing. The reason that our church has grown is because you guys invite people. Thank you. Can you give yourselves a hand? Thank you. You invite people. That's huge. And it lets me know as a pastor and a leader that you just believe that what God's done in you, he can do that in others. And he does. It's so cool. The stories that come out of it. I love it. Born for This. Here's the second big push. It's Easter, where realistically, we'll have 2,000 people at our Easter services. That's a lot of people. And listen, I don't want you to get hung up on the numbers and statistics or people. This is what I want you to know, that every number is a name. And people count. And people count to God. And we have to make sure that our heart and our perspective is set on God's purpose and plan happening, and that he wants to grow us personally. But let me just tell you, the Church of the King will reach tens of thousands in this region, because that's what God's called us to be, a group of people that come together to reach those, the lost, the lonely, the left out, the people that feel like they have no purpose, and to see their life built on hope and light and the life of Jesus. That's why we exist, born for this. Let me tell you, invite people. The second thing, Easter's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be great. And I firmly believe we'll see literally dozens and dozens, if not scores and scores of people give their heart to Jesus, because that's what we're believing for, that's what we're planning for, that's what we're praying for. And the third thing, this was our most attended series of the entire year, also with our highest attendance, our regular attendance throughout the year, and it's God at the Movies. Anybody go to God at the Movies? Wasn't it awesome? That's the big three. I actually have the big six in my notes, but I'm not going to share all of them. I am excited, very excited about them. They're a little different. They're going to be fun. I'm excited about the future and what God has for us. And I know that it's all founded on Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, which says, enlarge your house. Look at it. Enlarge your house, build an addition. Huh. Did y'all walk into the beautiful foyer? It is pretty beautiful to see what's coming, isn't it? It's way cool because God's called us to enlarge our house. Thank you for your faithfulness in our even greater campaign that's even continuing still, because God's called us to enlarge our house. We are making a place for those who aren't here yet because he's called us to enlarge our house, build an addition, spread out your home, spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettled ruined cities. Man, God's called us to go into the desolate and broken places of people's lives and shine the light of Jesus in so that they can have hope, knowing that there's a calling on their life that's way bigger than the problems and the pain that they've experienced. Man, this is what so excites me, this enlarge your house, build an addition. This isn't about physical stuff. That's only a small aspect of it, because the greater enlargement has to come in our heart. Has to come from the inside. Am I making a place? Am I enlarging the heart of my house? Am I enlarging my heart? And Lord, am I making a place for those who aren't here yet? As a church, we're doing that. That's why we're redoing the kids' facilities. That's why we're redoing the foyer. That's why we're planning for the future even years out, because we will be a regional church. We've prayed and prayed, Lord, and we want more campuses. And there's a seven-step process for us with the campus, and we're really stuck on step two, which is location. And I'm just really firmly believe that God's going to drop something in our lap. And I believe I'm really praying, and I really do believe it'll be sooner rather than later, because God's called us to reach a region. We're making room in the kids' space because we have a lot of kids in our church. And our nursery people are amazing. They just keep getting pulled out of nursery because they keep having more babies. And that's the truth. It's exciting. It's great. But we're also enlarging our services. We are moving, because we want room to reach more people, we're moving to a 3 Sunday morning service format. So starting next week, 9:30. We already have a 9:30 and 11:15. Here are our service times. 9:30, 11. So you're not going to be the 11 waking up for the crack of 11:15. It'll be the crack of 11 that you can get here at 11, and then a 12:30 service. You know, we tested this out with our Christmas services, and we had over 1,200 people, and we had over 250 people attend the 12:30 service. For me, that was really exciting. But of the handful of people that are on staff or key leadership positions, to a person, they all said, the 12:30 was the best service. Like, it had the best heart, the best spirit. And I think I know why. Because about 90% of the people that came to the 12:30 service were fully awake. No. No. About 90% of those people, they don't go to church here. They came because we had a 12:30 service. You know, my heart as a pastor is to reach people and see lives built. And we have the opportunity as a church to look at change, and really as individuals as well, to look at change through one of two lenses. And it is very easy to look at change in our lives or in the things that are associated with our life through the lens of a challenge. And it's very easy to make that challenge a negative thing. It's like, y'all remember like the ice bucket challenge? I don't know who did that, but I'd like to punch him. Because I did that thing. That was dumb. It's just cold. I mean, I'm sure it was great and it helped people and I gave money and all that. Yes, that's good. But like, couldn't I have like the drink a Slurpee challenge instead? No, dump freezing cold water all over. Because we look at challenge through the lens of the negative. But we have the We have the perspective that if we have the perspective that God has, we see every change not as a challenge, but as an opportunity for God to do something. That's why we're going to three services. You know, we have to prepare, and here's the three ways. I'm going to go through this quickly, so listen up. My heart for you is that you prepare for 2018 in three areas. Here's the first one. It's the mental and emotional aspect of your life. You have to prepare mentally and emotionally for 2018 and for what you feel that God's calling you to do or to be or to be a part of. Prepare mentally and emotionally. It's like if you're an athlete and you know that it's game day or game time or you're in a race, you know that you have to prepare yourself mentally for that thing as much as you do physically, don't you? You got to prepare mentally. I'm already fasting, but I'm going to ask everybody to prepare with us for 2018 and our first big push in Born for This and praying and fasting. I'm going to challenge you to host a group or get in a group. I'm going to challenge you to show up every week for the 6 weeks of Born for This, but I'm also going to challenge you to pray and fast every day. Now, you don't have to fast all foods, but you may say, I'm fasting Facebook. You may say, I'm fasting television. Whatever it is. What is God calling you to give up to deny your flesh so your spirit can grow stronger? We're called to mentally prepare. We're also called to practically prepare. What does practically preparing mean? Like, I have to prepare myself practically. That means I may have to set an alarm. I may have to set my alarm 30 minutes earlier so that I can get up and prepare myself in the third manner. Here it is, spiritually. The three areas that we, if we want to see God's will done and God's kingdom come in our personal lives and in our church, where we see God touch us and touch others, we have to prepare mentally and emotionally. We have to prepare practically. That means that we're going to may have to set the alarm, and we have to do what we don't want to do so that we can become what God's called us to be. Man, that's good. I'm going to say that again. We may have to do what we don't want to do so that we can become what God's called us to be. Mentally, practically, spiritually. Spiritual preparation is this: you seeking God. You seeking God. That's it. It's you seeking God. People can't see what God is doing. They stumble all over themselves. When you seek God, He will open your eyes to the path that He has for you. Psalms 119, 105 says this: Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you get a word from God, listen to me, when you get a word from God, you know the next step. I wish it would say, like, Psalms 119 would say, your word is like a Q-beam or like the massive flood lamp over the whole world that I can know the exact path that I have. No, you don't usually get to see a mile down the road. God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to the path and the next step. But a lot of people stumble because they can't even see where their feet are resting. And my prayer for you that today that you can see, man, God's called us as a church to reach people. Our big three are going to be Born for This for the next 6 months, Born for This, preparing for Easter practically, emotionally, spiritually, preparing for God at the movies practically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, but that you recognize that you will never be able to get to the place that God has for you unless you are hearing from Him. You know, John chapter 15, verse 8 and verse 11, it says, this is to my Father's glory. This is Jesus speaking. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Unfortunately, many people, the fruit that they bear is a smashed face because they stumble because they've not sought God. And so they make their own path, but they fall down and get all bloodied and bruised and hurt. Have you been there before? That's not good fruit, is it? No. But when we trust God and we allow His word to light our path, His glory ends up with us bearing much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And look at verse 11, because verse 11 says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So here's the comparison and the contrast. When we try and figure out our own path, but we can't see our next step, we end up stumbling and smashing our face or breaking an arm or hurting ourselves. Not fun, is it? But when we trust God and we hear from him and we hear his word, here's what happens, that his word lights our path. He shows us the next step. We bear much fruit. And then here's what we get, joy. And then in him, our joy is complete. Man, isn't that great? As a pastor, my prayer for you is that you get to the place where you bear fruit and you're full of joy. You bear good fruit and you're full of joy. So here's what I'm going to ask of you today, two things. The first is that you have faith in God. And that you commit today, that you say, Lord, I'm committing to give you 2018. For some of you, you may need to give the bad. Some of you need to give the good. In reality, all of us need to give both the good and the bad to God. And we say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm giving, and that is faith. I'm trusting God. That's the first one. Have faith in God. Here's the second thing. As your pastor, if I'm your pastor and this is your house, I'm asking you to have trust in the process at Church of the King. Trust in the process, because we do four things. This is all we do. We do four things. We have our services, our weekend services. We do growth track, we do grow. We have groups, we have teams. Teams that do outreach, teams that serve here. Get plugged in, get plugged into the process. You know, God has a process and a purpose and a plan for each of us. Here's God's process. It's really, I believe, Ephesians 1, 16 and through 18. This is my prayer for you as a pastor. It says, I pray for you constantly. This is Paul asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight. Here's my heart for you, that you grow in your knowledge of God. Look at verse 17. That I pray that your hearts, here it is, your hearts are flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he's given to those he called, his holy people who are rich in his glorious inheritance. I want you to get this. All of us want hearts that are flooded with light, don't we? But the reason I think that, and we can just leave this up, the reason that so often that we feel like we're in darkness is because we're in the middle of a crisis. Have you ever been in the middle of a crisis? It's not a fun place to be. And I think so often we think that we're only gonna have hope when the crisis cease, when there's no crisis in our life, when there's no difficulty, when there's no problem. But can I tell you that hope is not simply the lack of crisis in your life. Because hope, if we read this verse, is directly connected to your calling. God calling out to you, knocking on the door of your heart. And when you answer the calling of God in your life, your heart is flooded with light and you are filled with confident hope. That's my heart and my prayer for you. So why do I say embrace the process? Have faith in God and trust the process, both here and the process that God has for you in your life. Well, what is God's process? I believe it's four things. It's based out of Exodus chapter 6. It's actually Exodus 6 verses 6. We're not going to put that on the screen. But it's God speaking to a nation who had been enslaved and reminding them of who he was, who he had called them to be, and the place that he had for them. And you can go read that on your own time, or you can get into Grow, which is today right after the service, with awesome food, childcare, all free. My wife and I are leading that. Just an unabashed plug for that, because you need to embrace the process that God has for you in your life. God's heart for us is the same from Exodus all the way to today. Here's the four-step process. Here it is. The first one is that you know God. That you know God. And when you know God, when you have a real relationship with him, that you find freedom. The only way that you can know that your tomorrows are going to be good is when you give God all of the pain, the problems, and even the successes of yesterday. Amen. We have to walk in freedom. We have to discover our purpose, discover purpose. Do you know your purpose? God's heart and plan. Go look up Exodus 6. Know God, find freedom, know your purpose, discover your purpose. And here's the last thing, it's make a difference. But I want you to get this because it's huge. When I don't see God's vision for my life, I'm in danger of settling for an earthly counterfeit. When I don't see God's vision for my life, I'm in danger of settling for an earthly counterfeit. What does that earthly counterfeit look like? Because there is a devil who is real, and just as God wants you to know him, to walk in freedom, to know your purpose, and to make a difference in this world, the enemy has a plan, but it's just always just a one tweak off. It's a counterfeit. It kind of looks the same, and this is it. You ready? The first one is not know God. It's the lie of, well, if I could just know me better. If I could just know myself, if I could know how I'm wired, if I could know my intricacies and figure out how in the world I'm wired, then man, everything would begin to get better. No, it's not about you. That's the counterfeit. It's about knowing God. And when you know God, you'll end up knowing you, but from the perspective of God and a biblical and healthy, life-giving one, not one that's focused on you, because that ends up being selfish. And at the end of the day, selfishness doesn't lead to significance. It leads to misery. Know me. Here's the second one. Find fame. Man, if people just knew what was inside of me. Like, I'm creative. I'm smart. I'm good looking. I'm good at this. I'm talented. If they just knew, that I would be famous. And so the world's lie is that you should know yourself, that you should find fame. Discover a platform. Man, if I could just get these things out, and I could do it in business, I could do it in the arts, I could do it in education, I can do it. Discover a platform. And then the last one of the enemy is the lie of this is how you fulfill your purpose. You know yourself, you find fame, you discover a platform. And it's not even make a dollar, because the enemy doesn't give you a dollar, he gives you a dime. It's make a dime. That's the lie that the enemy has for all of us. And if we're not careful, we'll buy into this, because it is pushed all over the globe. It's just the lie of it's all about you. If only you were famous, if only you had a platform where people could see you, then you'd make it, and then you'd make an awful lot of money as well. What it really is the exact opposite of what God has for you. That is slavery. It's slavery. All about me, being famous, having this great platform where people know who I am, making tons of money. Come on, it's the lie of this culture, isn't it? Am I missing this? I don't think so, am I? It's a lie. It's deceptive. It's slavery is what it is. But God wants you, remember, when you know him, what's the first thing that he begins to work on, that you begin to experience? You find freedom. Everybody say, find freedom. So how do we find freedom? And if we know God, what does it mean to find freedom? That means that we're not living in the pain of the past, allowing it to destroy our tomorrows, but we're allowing God to take care of our yesterdays. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means in all of the sin that we've ever committed in our life, all of the horrible stuff we've done or said or even thought, that the moment that we go before God with a penitent and humble heart and we say, God, please forgive me. I can't believe I did that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. We know this instantly. God forgives us. That forgiveness is instantaneous. And yet oftentimes people still deal with the ramifications of their own sin or sin that was perpetrated against them by someone else. How do we find freedom from that? Because that's God's heart. But James 5:16 says this. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confession shouldn't just be to God. It should be to other people as well. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? What's that word? Healed. Healed. You will never get to the place of freedom if you keep everything that's tormenting you inside. Never get to the place of freedom if you keep everything that's tormenting you inside. Your sin needs to be confessed to God, and it brings forgiveness. But when you are able to confess the junk that's hidden deep inside of you to someone else with the right heart, right attitude. And let me just say this, you don't need to be confessing your sins to everybody. No, far from it. But there needs to be somebody that you can be in a relationship with, that you can be close to, that you can confess your sins to them, knowing that they have your best interest at heart, and they love God, and it will bring you to a place of freedom because you're shining light on the dark areas of your life. Because I want you to get this statement, and it is so, so true. You are only as sick as your secrets. You're only as sick as your secrets. Everybody's got them. I want you to walk in freedom because that's God's purpose and plan for you. How do you practically do that? Here's the step I want you to embrace in your life for 2018. Get in a group. Get in a group. Get in a group because I've just seen it so many times when people step out and they either host a group or they get in a group. And it's a place of sanctity and security because people are intentional. Intentional in the relationships that they have. Look, I understand how small groups go. I get it. Like you end up in a small group because it works with your time, it works with your schedule, you can do it. And I think maybe I've met these people, so you go, it's kind of nervous. You know, it's kind of nerve-wracking the first time, especially if you're a guy, and I know what it's like for men. I can't speak from the perspective of women because y'all talk a lot and are all social, and men are just kind of standing around. It's like you walk into the group like, how you doing? I'm doing good. How about you? I'm doing good. It's a lie. It's a total lie. Everybody knows it's a lie. Your wife knows it's a lie because you were cussing on the way to the small group. But something happens after a few weeks, usually by week four, if you're intentional and going, okay, you know what? I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to be real in this group. And you don't have to divulge everything and like unload it on everybody like the first group. That would be a little awkward perhaps, maybe. But that you can get to the place where you're real and you're comfortable. You're comfortable. So you're no longer cussing on the way to the small group. You're comfortable enough to do it in the small group. No, I'm joking. That there's a place of sanctity and security because you've purposed to be connected to godly people. Look, not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But all with the same heart to grow in your walk with God, to know Him, to find freedom. Get in a group. Some of you have been here for years. You haven't been in a group. Get in a group. Get in a group. The next thing that God has for all of us, when we know Him, to find freedom first, that we can walk in freedom. Can I say, you never arrive in this Christian walk. Not until you arrive in heaven, then you've arrived. But while we're on this earth, we live in a messed up world. And unfortunately, sometimes we mess up in this world. Have y'all done that this morning? Yeah, probably some of you. Probably some of you did cuss on the way to church. We love you. When we know God, we begin to find freedom. It's a quest that we are on with others so that we can walk that out every moment of every day. It's shocking to me how sometimes, because if you've been here any length of time, you know that in the past I've had real issues with traffic. I don't like bad drivers, and I love Lake Charles. It's awesome. I never thought I'd be here. Said it was the one place I'd never go, but this is where God put me, and I love it, absolutely love it, but I don't love the drivers all the time. Because I like big city drivers, and I went to school in Los Angeles, and I love how they drive there aside from all the crazy traffic, but it's shocking to me how I can be everything be going great and then somebody just slow down in front of you in a place where you can't get around them, and then all of a sudden this junk has come up inside of me. Have y'all experienced? I don't know. Maybe it's not traffic for you. Maybe it's something else. But we got to walk in freedom, and we got to keep that as a perpetual thing. But the next one is that when we know God, we don't just find freedom, that we can discover our purpose. We can discover our purpose. Psalms 139, 13 and 16 says this. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Here's what I want you to know, and you need to know this. Before you ever took your first breath, God knew you. And God was already aware of the purpose, the plan, and the path that He had for you. But it's your choice to embrace it. Jeremiah 29:11, I quote it all the time, I love it. It says, "I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and a hope." Let me just remind you that God is good, that God knew you before the foundation of the earth, and He has a great plan for you. Ephesians 2:10 says this, man, I love it so much. It says, "We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." God has a plan for you from a long time ago. It was before the foundations of the earth. God had has a purpose and a plan for you that he knew eons ago. And here's the great thing. Because the tactic of the enemy is like, well, you missed that boat. That thing sailed 20 years ago. You screwed it up. You messed it up. You're missing everything. Yeah, God had a plan for you, but you just totally tanked it. But can I tell you something? God is outside of time. This is not about your past. This is about your present and where you are right now, because God is outside of time. And that means that he is not bound by the past, the present, or the future. He's outside of all of it. And so when this scripture is talking about the good things he planned for us long ago, it's referring to this very present moment. And this moment, God has a plan for you. You did not miss the boat. You did not pass up the Ruth Street exit and now have to go all the way to the Vinton exit and turn back around. God has a plan for you right where you are. This is where it begins. The lie of the enemy is that we can't fulfill the purpose and the path and the plan that God has for us because it started in 19-something. No, it's a today thing. Here's how you embrace the process here. Get into grow. Get into grow. It happens the first 4 weeks of every month. Today, it happens right after this service. Food, child care provided. My wife and I lead it today. Starting next week, when we move to 3 services, it's going to be during the 9:30 service. Get into grow. Well, it's just a bunch of classes, and then I like, it's not classes. It's not like that. 11 o'clock. Thank you, Pastor Tom. That's why he's here. It's during the 11 o'clock service. Sorry. It's during the 11 o'clock service. You can go to the 9:30 or the 12:30. But it's not about a class or a program. In fact, it's not a class or a program. I think a lot of people think wrongly about the process. They think groups are like mini church services. No, if your group is a mini church service, please tell your small group coordinator and let them know that, because it should not be a mini church service. It should be a connection where you're connecting together in your walk with God and growing together and being very real. And the same thing with grow is people think, well, is it just a bunch of classes? No, it's not at all. It's where we get together and leadership at the church, just, we go through our manual that is designed specifically to help you figure out how God's wired you and how he's called you. Nobody can point out your giftings and your purpose to you, but if you engage the process, and here's how you engage the process. First, I don't care if you've been here for 10 years, and if you haven't gone through go through grow. Engage the process, start with go to grow. Here's the second thing, truly seek God, because that's the foundation of change in everything. The process at our church is simply a vehicle that we have set up so that as you seek God, it can help you in seeking him so that you can figure out your purpose. My heart and passion is for you to know your purpose. A little over 2 years ago, I went and spent a day in West Palm Beach with Rob Hoskins, who is over One Hope Ministry. He's an amazing leader. And if anybody has the Bible app for kids, they developed that. And One Hope's focus and passion is to see the Bible given to every kid on the face of the earth. And the way that they're doing it now is primarily in a digital format, even though they do physical Bibles. But the fact is that most people, like, I don't have a physical Bible up here because I have notes and I have my phone with my YouVersion Bible app. Anybody have a Bible app on their phone? Come on, raise your hand. How many of y'all are taking notes today with the app? Anybody taking notes with the app? That's the most use that we get out of the app is our app is people taking notes with it because everything's so digital. And I sat with him and it was really quite a privilege. It was just me and a couple other people that I'm close with and helped develop just like, what is it that God's called you to? Tell me about yourself. And this is kind of his niche in helping people. And I came to the revelation of something that I knew all along. Doesn't that sound silly? I came to a revelation of something that I knew all along, but it solidified the calling on my life and the purpose for which God created me, and it's twofold. I was created to be a healer and a teacher. I love Rob, and I'm glad that I was able to go to West Palm, to his offices there, and sit down with him for 8 hours and go through a process. But at the end of the day, it wasn't about him or that process. It was about God opening my eyes to the purpose for which I was created. And I was a pastor here. engage the process, but it's founded on seeking God. The next thing that God has for us is make a difference. Make a difference. Isaiah 58:12 says this, "Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell." In Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you're a sociology or psychology student, you probably are familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But the greatest is transcendence. What does that mean? That means that when we live outside of ourselves, there is a fulfillment that we can't even describe that brings such personal satisfaction. Why is that? Because it's a God deal. Because if you buy the lie, the counterfeit of the enemy, that life is about knowing yourself and finding fame and discovering your platform and making a dime, it's all focused on you. But when you surrender your life to God, it begins with that one word, surrender. God, I give you everything. And when you give of yourself to other people, it brings such a sense of satisfaction, and it is from God because you were designed to make a difference. What does that look like practically for you? I don't know. How are you gifted? How are you wired? Maybe you're artistic and you can make stuff for people. I actually know someone very much like that, and she makes all these really cool things and gives them to people, prays about it and gives them to people. And the number of people that I've seen impacted, my wife included, in receiving a gift, like, wow, that's amazing. But she's an artist. I can't draw stick figures. Like, they're terrible. They look like dead stick figures. But I can be nice to people on occasion and what can make a difference? How do you do that? Well, here's, if you want to engage it here, and I encourage you to, get on a team. Serve. Serve on weekend services. Maybe you're good with kids. Get in the kids. Maybe you can welcome people. Welcome people. Make them feel welcome. And we have some guys that are just off the charts great at that. Get plugged in. Maybe you have a heart for outreach. Maybe you have a heart for those who find themselves in a situation where they don't have a home and you want to help. Get plugged in. Maybe you have a heart for feeding people. Get plugged in. All of our outreaches do all of those things. Get plugged in to make a difference. Get on a team. But here's the last thing, and I'm wrapping up with this. All of our teams, whether it's in the community, they work really hard to reach people, and they work really hard to show God's love. And our teams here on the weekend services, where most of you are going to experience Church of the King, they work really hard, whether it's in singing and preparing for that, or it's in the environment, or it's in kids. But the reality is that it's not about what we do, it's about who we're doing it for. Because in everything, everything, the foundation, the motivation is for you to know God. You may be sitting there and say, I gave my heart to the Lord in 1977. I'm glad you did, that's great. But if we go back to Ephesians 1, are you growing in your understanding and your knowledge of God? Are you growing in your walk with God? You know Him. Some of you, you may have been in church your whole life, and I'm calling you out and saying, engage the process. Get into grow. Get into a small group. Get in a group. Invite people to church. Why? Because every person is a person to God. Every number has a name. This is not a numbers game. This is about us recognizing the reality of heaven and hell, and that God loves us so much that He created us to spend eternity with Him. But the brokenness of sin keeps people from God, and that was never His plan, and it breaks His heart. It is not God who wants the separation, the division between us and Him. It is the enemy who deceives us and makes us skeptical of God and God's people. Trust God. Have faith in Him. Trust the process here. Get plugged in. Let me just tell you, I'm just convinced that if you go all in, if you're one of those people that you just decide, I'm going to show up early and I'm going to stay late. And we have a lot of people like that, by the way. Like, I'm going to show up early and I'm going to stay late. Watch God do an unbelievable thing in your life in 2018. This is not about church. This is about you seeking God and making a difference in the world around you. Do it. It's awesome. Here's what happens. It doesn't mean that everything goes perfectly in 2018. It means that in the middle, sometimes, of a crazy mess up in life, there's still beauty. May God make us in His image. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing to see people surrender to Him. Let's bow our heads. Some of you today, you know about God, but you don't know God. And some of you here, you know God, but you're not growing in God. So let me talk to you first. If you're here and you are not growing in God, you need to prepare for 2018. Mentally, emotionally, practically, but spiritually. You've got to make an effort to seek Him. Seek Him. You'll find Him. Knock on the door of heaven. He'll open up. If you're here, nobody's looking around. If you're here and you know God, but you're not growing in God, I want to pray for you right now. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, I know God, but I'm not growing in Him. Come on, keep them up. Don't be ashamed. Father, I just pray for those with their hands raised that they encounter you today, right now. They encounter you. They sense you. That, Lord, as they seek you, as they take 2018 or committing this to you, that, Lord, that you meet them. You can put your hands down. But some of you, you don't know God. You know about Him. But God's much more than something that you are aware of and have knowledge of. You can experience God. And my heart for you is that you experience Him. Begins in surrender. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus says this. He says, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life because of me, you'll save it. Well, here's what that means. That when you give Jesus all of the good, all of the bad, you give Him all of you, you get a brand new life. It's a life that's been forgiven. It's a life where both good and bad get redeemed. There's a fresh start and a fresh plate. If you're here today and you just sense that God's knocking on the door of your heart and you know that today you need to surrender your life to Him, I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you right where you are. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I know that today I need to give my life to God. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, I know. I'm telling you, there's a room full of people that some of you, you need to know God. Can we all pray together right now? Just say, dear God, I give you everything. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. I believe you, Jesus. You died for my sin. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give Him a hand this morning? Say it all the time. It's so true. The best is yet to come. God bless.